Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 18 of the Pete Craft podcast. This week, joining me, we have Anomaly,
Hello.
Mickey,
Hey.
and Shrike.
Hello.
So this is going to be one of the few podcast episodes where we actually have somebody from every spec, because Anomaly, in theory, plays Mistweaver. Mickey,
Sometimes.
in theory, plays Windwalker. And Shrike, in theory, plays Brewmaster. So I take
Why are
that
you
back. We don't
laughing?
have somebody who actually plays every spec.
I mean, plays is subjective, isn't it?
Is it, though?
You can be the Brewmaster representative.
That's true. I'm curious, Anomaly, do you actually play Mistweaver right now?
Yeah, no, yeah, I do. It's the only thing I play.
I just knew a bunch of the Mistweaver vets are actually Resto Druid main.
Yes. The war, or paladins, or priests, or basically anything other than a Mistweaver. So that's kind of the Mistweaver vet, like, badge, I guess you could say, is if you get vet as a Mistweaver, you immediately reroll.
That's what we
that
do
sounds like the
Brewmasters as
Brewmaster
well.
thing.
Yeah. That's the way it works.
What is it for Windwalkers? Is it that they quit the game? Is that right, Mickey?
Yeah, that's more the usual route, I would say. There was a point where I think the only Windwalker mods playing Windwalker, actually, I think it was just Babs, no one else, for when I wasn't playing. So that's something.
Feels monk. Okay, well, today our episode's actually going to be not super about monks. We're going to be talking about the new world content that came out in patch 8.2, which has been out for like a week and a half. And I know some people are going to message me about this. We are not going to spend a lot of time on essences yet. We've done a bunch of the math. There's guides on Peak. If you want to know what to use, go and read those. We are going to do a podcast about the essences. We're going to wait until after they're actually all out, because there are several very important ones that are not available yet. So that should be in a couple of weeks after the raid launch. Today, though, we are going to talk a lot about Najitar and Mechagon. So, for people who might have been living underneath a rock, or under the sea, as it may be, Najitar and Mechagon are two new world zones introduced in 8.2. Najitar is kind of this Argus, Broken Isles kind of zone, bunch of world quests, bunch of dailies, set in Azshara's Sunken City. Mechagon is much smaller, much more similar to Timeless Isle. Focused on the Junker Gnomes and their struggle against kind of the same thing if you did Borean Tundra. The thing the gnomes were fighting against there, the robot gnome. And I guess, what do we think? Just like, before we really get into too much detail, what do we think of it?
They're alright.
I really enjoy both zones. I didn't realize there was parallels to Borean Tundra, so that's really nice, because I actually don't know the story of either zone, but I know there's a lot of world quests, which I'm excited about.
I finally hit my net goal today, which means that I get to start actually looking at the zones instead of just looking at the world quests, so I'll let you know.
So what I'm hearing is 8.2 has two zones, both of which can be described as World Quest Simulator 2019.
Exactly. Except in Mechagon, I have to click a button to get the quest, and instead of just flying over there, it's honestly frustrating.
You have to do that in Najitar too.
You're right. Okay, they both are just terrible.
So yeah, we have dailies back now, instead of world quests, and I don't know how I feel about that, because maybe it's just because I've been picking the same follower every day, but it means I do the same three dailies every day. And
wait, do they have different dailies?
Two. As far as I actually don't know, now that you mentioned it.
Which one?
Because I've been picking the same one every.
Do you have?
Neri.
Okay, what's your quest?
So there's like a rotating set of like five, and it's three of them every day. There's the kelp wine, there's kill the critch, there's cracking some eggs, there's the one where you kill crabs.
I had no idea. I get like two quests where I have to jump around on geysers, and there's another one where I have to go kill some shit, and I've forgotten what it is.
So jumping on geysers sounds way better than having to. So we can actually kind of start segueing into what the zones are actually like with this. The one where you have to break some eggs, the daily for that, the quest giver for it is at the very freaking top of the very like top right corner of the Najitar map. The place you actually do the quest is about 50 feet to the left, but like 2,000 feet down.
So you need a glider.
Sounds like you need to row a leap, man.
Well, no, I'm a panda. I jump off and I'm fine. But getting back up is really annoying.
Do you not have flying?
Yeah, you just fly
I am
back
not
up.
Revered with either faction yet.
Wow. Sounds like a slacker to me.
You're right. I'm also not Nuck level 55.
Well, that one's acceptable.
I'm not even 54.
That's also fine.
I didn't have an issue with that. Even when I didn't have flying, like I felt like, isn't there a ramp like just south of the eggs?
Yeah, but you
there
have to like
a lot of
go up
ramps.
The ramp and up the ramp. And up the ramp and up the ramp to turn in your
but
quest.
Very
it, like
steep ramps. It's not like
it takes longer
long
than doing the quest.
Ramps.
Yeah, they're
well,
like.
It sounds like
hidden.
You need to play Naruto's out better.
I mean, it's the top corner of the zone. What else am I going to do?
Mine usually are next to world quests or very close. They're all pretty central.
There's like no world quests in that area, unless there's a one of the runelocked chests world quests up. That's the only one that's in the area.
I feel like just southeast of that, in kind of Zinashari, like the actual ruined city, that's where there's kind of a clump, usually of a bunch of dailies and world quests. Like that's the nice hotspot.
Is up that big ass ramp I was complaining about.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe I got lucky though. I was switching actual followers. Like I got one to like level 5 and then I would start using the next one and so on. And I don't know if I just got lucky by day or anything, but I found they were usually all pretty clustered.
Yeah, that's the only one that I found that's like super far out of the way. Most of the rest are close to world quests or right next to a flight path or something like that.
I will say I definitely thought there was kind of a weird lack of transportation to get to basically the top left. It was just a big gap for a while. And then it turns out, I don't know if you've gotten there yet, but once you finish the quest with Jaina or Horde equivalent of getting 3,000...
I actually just did that this afternoon.
Yeah, when you get the 3,000 follower XP and you do the little quest line after, there's a flight path that's for the entrance to the raid that's kind of right in that top
it's
left.
Super convenient. I was actually getting a little bit salty about how we were gonna get to the raid all the time.
I couldn't even tell where the entrance
that quest
was.
Line. I think it's right there. I thought I saw the swirly, but I was not
so
paying
so
attention.
There's actually no swirly. Once you finish that, it kind of tricks you because the swirly is not actually on that map. What you do is once you've done that line, and I have a point about this after, is the Gate of the Queen where there's all those elites, you literally just jump in the middle of that. And then there's this cool water tunnel that you travel along. Like, it just pushes you through, like, kind of in Neltharion's lair. And then you just arrive at this underwater palace. It's a pretty cool entrance.
Oh, that's neat.
But the weird thing that I feel like I haven't heard much talk about, if this is true, is when I was doing this, I saw on Wowhead that finishing that quest line apparently unlocks the raid. And to me, that kind of sounds like basically an attunement quest line.
Oh
but
boy, I hope that's not true.
The thing is, yeah, I feel like if it was attunement, I would have heard a lot of complaining about it. but I've heard nothing.
Well, so either, but you might not know because... yet.
Yeah, either no one knows or it's not an attunement.
On PTR, you just go and you talk to a dude and you get ported in, so you don't have to do that quest.
Yeah.
So if that's a real attunement, that's going to be an actual pain.
Someone compared it to Nighthold, but I couldn't totally... Like, I remember finishing the quest in Nighthold that dumps you right at the entrance at the end of it, but I couldn't remember if you actually needed...
You didn't have to do that quest to unlock it, though.
Yeah, so I have not tried jumping in that same portal on someone that has not done that quest line, and I guess my whole account would be done.
I'll do that right now.
Well, I guess it's probably account-wide if it is an attunement, so if anyone hasn't finished the quest line yet.
Well, I've done it on my warrior, but I haven't done it on my paladin, so I'm going to go run there on my paladin right now.
Yeah.
No. When I get there, we can talk about it.
Which, actually, I guess, so one of the big features, big air quotes, is of Najatar is the followers, which are, like, I guess each faction gets 3 because they're specific to our factions. Yeah. And you get to pick one every day, and they give you some unique dailies, and that's actually about all there is to it. Apparently, they break rogue stealth, so rogues are really complaining, but what else is...
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I do know that they're like, if you're trying to do some of like the secret rares in Najatar, they like the stun one. I don't know. I think it's Nari.
Yeah.
Kind of messes with kiting adds, which is always fun.
I've had them take aggro a lot if I'm just trying to run through a pack, get dismounted, or before flying when I was a ground plebe.
Yeah.
I'd run through a pack and I'd like Flying Serpent kick out. And then my follower would just kind of take aggro and die. And I'd be like, all right, thanks, I guess.
That drove me nuts. I was trying to activate one of the big tree guys earlier.
Yeah.
And so I would taunt it and start running away. And my stupid follower kept taking aggro. And then I would get too far away and it would reset. And it was all very terrible.
The one I picked has a Fan of Knives ability, which can go through walls, I found out.
Nice.
Which is fun, because a bunch of like the old high elven areas have a bunch of buildings with apparently very thin walls and ghosts in them. And so I'll be like killing a mob and she'll do the Fan of Knives, and then suddenly I'm fighting 4 mobs. It's great fun.
That's awesome.
There are a lot of mobs that are inside things, I've noticed.
Yeah, the whole
inside
that...
walls, inside rocks, inside all kinds of terrain.
This is slightly unrelated, but you mentioned the ghost areas in Zinashari. Just small tip, if you didn't know this, at least it was working a few days ago. There's the daily from the flight path right there, where you have to basically click on the bones to spawn a spirit and then kill 8 spirits that fear you. If you spam click one of the bones, you can get literally 5 spirits to spawn from one set of bones and not have to look for anymore. So that's kind of fun. Except they all will try to fear you at the same time. So if you don't have leg sweep up, you're going to run.
Sounds like a great way to accidentally pull the entire area.
Yeah, but you know, it's worth it because you didn't have to look for bones.
It's true. No, I think the whole Najatar zone with like the followers and stuff like that, I think it's a nice change of pace, right? Plus it's like I am very much a person who loves seeing like bars in video games go up, like experience bars. Any bar, like I have like some clickers on my phone that just I idle AFK them, it's great. So like having followers now have experience, I think it's a nice addition, even though it's not like your progression, it's like another way to progress something in the game, kind of keep you logging in. So it's not like it's difficult to like keep that up.
And it's not like it's a lot of effort to do that. And you know, just getting your dailies every day, I think my followers are up to like level 13 or 14 by now. The progression is pretty fast. So it's kind of neat. You know, like I'm not paying attention to the bars going up and then all of a sudden my followers got a quest and that's kind of cool and exciting.
Yeah, it's kind of nice because you don't actually need more XP per level. It seems it's always 300. So
yeah, it's always a pretty steady rate. That caught me by surprise.
Especially because there's a lot of small, you know, obviously there's the 100 per quest, but then there's the small bonus ones. You get some from rare mobs. You get some from the Murloc trading game. I feel like there's one more that I'm forgetting. Oh, one of the tree the tree rares, the four difficult to activate ones. You can get an item from them that gives them XP. So they go a little faster than you would think.
Yeah, but I think all in all, it's a very well, like, well constructed zone. I think it looks really cool, like aesthetically. I can't say that word, but like,
it's super pretty.
Yeah, I'm excited. Like, I know that we're not supposed to be talking about the raid, but I'm excited about like the art direction for this patch.
Just like we can talk about the raid. I just don't want to be like sidetracked into talking about boss mechanics and loot.
I meant just like art direction wise. I think this zone looks good, and I think the raid looks good. So the whole Naga theme.
I got a little bit of nostalgia goggles because Nighthold was my first mythic raid, but I love Nighthold aesthetically, and I am super happy to be seeing more of that kind of style in general.
Yeah.
Did you know that if you were Horde, you would get to see even more of it because Thalissra plays a bigger role in Nashatar?
She's a traitor, and I'm offended.
I don't. Who's that?
Thalissra. The Arcanist lady from Suramar.
I forgot you're playing a World Quest simulator.
Which purple one? Is the purple one that we killed at the end of Nighthold? Or
no, different? That's Elisana.
No, the one who helped us kill the other purple one at the end of Nighthold.
Oh, gotcha. I'm on the same page now.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about the story in this game. It's so awful.
I can tell.
Yeah.
So if you had to pick like one thing from Nashatar that's like your favorite thing about the zone, what would it be? And you can't say the art. You can't say the aesthetics. I'm gonna ban that one because I think everybody would just say that one.
So for me personally, it's the world quest where you have to untangle the lines, and it's primarily because I figured out that you can actually pick which two orbs switch like literally 12 hours ago. I did that quest by randomly clicking all the orbs, and they would sometimes switch and sometimes wouldn't, and I didn't realize that you could like click one and then click another one, like wait a second and they stop. So I spent 45 minutes one time doing one of those. Shout out to that quest because that's a lot easier now. So I'm a fan of that one. That's my favorite part.
There's a toy that you can get that gives you just one of those that you can use whenever.
Oh really?
And it gets progressively harder. There's screenshots floating around that are like level 20 of that, where it's just like a sea of purple orbs with lines connecting.
That's crazy. Yeah, I would not be good at like previous, like if this was yesterday, I would not be good at that. But it's today, so I know how that quest works now. So I would definitely think, I think just in general, like the puzzle quests, I think are really cool in the zone, like the world quests.
I actually really like the puzzle quests. They are much better executed than either of the like oddball world quest emissaries we've had, the Tortolan ones or the Kirin Tor ones. They like actually work and don't feel laggy. And one of them is basically Bejeweled. The other one, I don't know a good name of it, but if you have the Blinktron toy, you know what it is.
Yeah, actually, they're both basically repurposed, it seems, from, I forget which one this was, but it was one of the secret finding puzzles.
When's the Blinktron toy? Bejeweled.
I know the untangling one was from AQ40. That was like, that was the clue.
Nightmare.
Yeah, it was on Lucid Nightmare. That was it. I think. No. It might have been the one before it, the Mindseeker. But it was one of those.
Not Mindseeker, because I did Mindseeker.
Okay, then it was probably Lucid Nightmare. But yeah, both of those were in it.
Go out to Velshara. Sorry, Velshara, and there was a untangling puzzle. I remember that. That was from
Velshara was the untangling. Bejeweled was C'Thun.
So, Mickey, you said you had one that wasn't the aesthetic.
Yeah, well, actually, I was going to say I'm not the hugest fan of the aesthetic. Not because it doesn't look good, because it does. Especially, I would say, the kind of water wall that surrounds the zone. That's really cool. But I do feel like, and this is an unavoidable thing, but it's not super new looking, if that makes sense. Like, it's all kind of aesthetics we've seen. Like, I guess Argus, you could say, was pretty different. It wasn't anything we've totally saw before. It's kind of Exodari, but not that much. But just because of the nature of the zone, it's pretty similar to Broken Shore, Asuna, I guess the original Ashara a little bit, but at this point that's like nothing. Nighthold, because it's High Elven, and a few of those kind of things. And even the entrance to the raid, the cool swimmy down part, reminds me a little bit of like Serpent Shrine Cavern in TBC. And that's just all because they're all Naga related or High Elven related, but it's kind of samey a little bit.
I can understand that. Yeah. I like the aesthetic still. But I understand.
Yeah, like I'm not saying it's a bad one, but it's just like, oh, cool, more High Elven stuff. And like it's kind of cool because I am a lore guy, and it's like finally an Ajitar, finally Zanashari, except Zanashari is like 10 buildings on the edge of the water wall. And you would kind of expect it to be more like a Suramar kind of city.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit disappointed that there's not. It would have been really cool if Najatar were Suramar with ghosts.
Yeah, I could see that. I guess you wouldn't get quite as much of the underwater species that aren't High Elf ghosts.
Yeah.
They probably wanted some variety. But, you know, I guess the Eternal Palace is supposed to be the real raid, and that would be kind of the palace at this point. But I wouldn't have minded if the whole zone was kind of a palace. Especially because it seems to be their reasoning for letting us go there is basically Ashara is like inviting us in, kind of almost as guests, as like taunting us. So that would have made sense too, if she's inviting us to the real palace.
All I'm hearing is we are secretly already vampires.
Yeah, sure.
Side note, you mentioned the water wall.
Yeah.
And that the water wall is really cool. If you go and you look at it, it's got like the whale shark from Vashir, and it's got the T-Rex with the laser riding on a great white shark from PTR from Cataclysm out in the water wall.
Yep.
And a bunch of other Easter eggs like that. It's really cool.
You can even see...
Are those static in specific positions, or do they just kind of...
They come
out?
And go, from what I can tell.
Okay, I'm going to have to pay attention to those.
Azumat was the other one I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that one.
Yeah, he's out there. He's behind Neptulon, I think, who's in the bottom left, facing west.
There's also the... just, like, if you happen to be near it and you look out, sometimes you'll see, like, a shark or something, and you're like, oh, that's mildly, like, concerning.
Yeah.
Like I know that all of those are just NPCs behind an invisible wall, and it's fine. But I still see like the silhouette of a shark, and I'm like, oh, wait a second. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
What about you, Shrek? What do you like about this?
I like that the world quests are all kind of different from what we've seen before. I like the puzzles. They're kind of a nice break from the go kill 10 things and go pick up 10 of these doodads. I also like that there's a lot of different kind of zone feelings in here. You know, like you've got the High Elf areas, and then you've got the Murloc area, then the Voidy stuff. But I really have not. I've been so focused on grinding AP that I haven't had enough time to really sit back and look at the zones. I'll be honest.
So I guess maybe we should start talking about that topic, because I think that's a really important aspect of how people experience these zones. Is like Anomaly is doing World Quest Simulator by choice because he's a madman. Trike is doing World Quest Simulator because of raid requirements, and even I, being the like semi-casual mythic raider that I am feeling the pressure because I have to do world quests on top of now I have rep grinds to get done to unlock essences for Eternal Palace.
I think, yeah, based on that, like, I think the fact that the zones are just somewhat interesting helps that, right? Because, like, looking back at some of the previous AP grinds that we had, right? Like, Legion, start of Legion was, like, sitting in Maw of Souls for, you know, 8 hours a day. You know what I mean? I think you can. I think there's still that with islands, right? If you're trying to really, really push neck levels, but I think, you know, if you're trying to stay somewhat competitive, like hit, you know, your 55s, your 58s before Mythic Week, you can do that just with World Quest. And it's nice that these zones are just, you know, different than what we've been doing for the past, you know, year, year and a half. So, that's nice. And the whole like addition of having dailies now kind of breaks up the. It's still like the same idea, the same concept, but it kind of breaks up the mechanics of how you do that into something like slightly different. So it seems like ish.
The one thing that sucks a little bit about the dailies is like if you, when we had that rare one not too long ago to go kill, it was something nuts like 10 or 15 rares. I think
it was five.
It was a lot.
It was five, but that's still
so
a lot.
Funny, but it felt a lot. And the problem was because it was a daily, everybody else is out farming the rares. And normally, like, you know, you're going around, you're doing your world quest, and you stumble across a rare or two. On this day that we had that daily where you had to go kill rares, there was nothing because everybody else was farming them.
I think
that's my only complaint with actual dailies is that it makes it the limited respawns. They feel a lot more painful when everybody like else is farming them on the same day.
When there's a requisition for starfish, you can't find any. And when there's not, they're all over the place.
Also, on that same painful rare day, which, you know, you look at it and you're like, three rares, how bad could this be? Like, these people are just complaining because they didn't want to play for 5 minutes kind of thing. But, yeah, it really did take forever. And especially when... I think it was a World Quest rare that was up. Like, the World Quest was just kill this one rare. And the mob had a silver dragon border, and we killed it, not in a raid or anything, and it did not actually count as a rare. And that was pretty bad. And I know they fixed it in the hotfix a day later, but, you know, thinking, like, finally, this is the last one, and then it not actually counting, that was not the best.
I'm also going to interject here. I brought my paladin to the raid entrance and it has not done any of the attunement and there is a floor in the way and I can't swim down like Mickey was telling me I should be able to.
We just compared some screenshots. It looks like
attunement confirmed.
Attunement.
Time to go.
Don't
want to
confirm until
group.
The raid is live, but
I could also see them. I could see them like once the raid is live, they take away the 3,000 follower XP quest and it's just click through. They've done that before for a lot of similar things, I think.
What's the point of having the invisible wall?
It's not an insubstantial quest line to go through.
And it's not that long. It's like it's basically two or three groups of two quests in the.
It's not terrible, but at the same time, if you're trying to bring in some alt on a boss and the whole raid is waiting for you, then it's.
Yeah, I can't see it lasting very long.
Yeah. So anyway.
The 3,000 follower XP quest takes 10 days if you're just doing the dailies. And, like, you can get a little ahead by doing the rares, but not that much ahead. Having to do a week's worth of dailies on every single alt just to do the raid sounds like a bad time.
I mean, so, I'm going to go double check on an alt to make sure that I can't get down on there. But,
Well, Shrek said she had unlocked another warrior, right?
Try to swim down on my warrior.
Yeah, there might be something she didn't finish.
I just did the thing and ran away.
Like, you got the flight path, right? And then the quest to kill Ashara.
Yep, yeah, I have the quest to go into.
And we should be at the same point.
That's what I thought.
But I'll just
Mickey, let me know if you somehow already killed Ashara.
I did not yet. I'm almost there.
But, yeah, I think the dailies... The mix of dailies and world quests and puzzle world quests does give it a nice variety. I'm happy they've nerfed basically every single daily at this point because the requirements on some of them were just ridiculous for how much you had to do. Like, day one, you could spend 2 or 3 hours doing dailies and not get them done because everybody else is hunting for the same resources. They're much more reasonable now.
Well, I feel like part of that's also that everyone's going to be playing the patch the first few days of the patch and it'll kind of taper off as it goes through.
That's true.
It It was probably unfortunate that we got the rare one so early, because I'm sure everybody was killing the rares because they want the pets, because they want the mounts, they want all the other little stuff that the rares drop, and it's new and exciting. Hey, I can go kill this rare for the first time.
Yeah.
And just compounded the fact that we also had the bounty on the rare.
On the note of rares, like, I went into this world content more or less entirely unspoiled, so I actually still have no idea what most of the stuff you can get from rares is. But the rares I have done, they're a lot more detailed than, like, random rare mobs in other BFA zones, and even Legion zones. A lot of them have actual, like, mechanics that will kill you if you're a DPS and not a tank.
So some of the more powerful rares with, like, a ton of health that you really need a group for, not like the ones, like, you can solo this if you really try. They'll have actual buffs, and there should be two of them in Nazatar that will tell you basically what two abilities they have. And it seems like they've kind of made a grab bag of mechanics and then just assigned two random ones to each one. So you kind of learn them as you go. And I think that's a pretty neat way of doing it.
I have done neither of those, right?
No, like, I mean, any of, like, the big named rares, I'm trying to see if I see one, but no luck. Any of the big named rares, they'll have, like, two buffs on their profile that you can mouse over, and it'll say, like, whatever Restorative Waters grants access to the Restorative Waters ability, and you know that that mob has the healing mechanic, like that kind of thing.
Interesting. I've never seen those.
Also, I am at the raid entrance on an alt, and I cannot swim down.
Can you go back there on your monk?
Yeah, I just was. I could swim down. Oh, I went to the raid.
So, attunement tentatively confirmed? Rip alt?
Worth noting that this alt is Horde, and my main that I finished a quest on is Alliance. Probably doesn't have to do anything with it, but it's something.
I can go double check on my warrior just to be certain.
Yeah. But not looking good.
I really hope it's something that, like, there's one last quest that you do
that just does
Tuesday
it.
Or something.
Or if, like,
that actually
kill
does
Ashara on normal.
Something that, like, does an account-wide unlock.
So I actually just found a rare.
I'm fine
with
attunements. I just don't want to have to do the quest line on every single one of my alts. So if it's account-wide, I'm happy.
Yeah.
If it's not account-wide, I am not happy.
Like, I didn't mind the account-wide, like, Court of Stars and, what's the Argus one? Court of Stars Cathedral and the Argus one, all were account-wide unlocks.
Seeds.
Yes, that one that I did on my main ones and never again.
Yeah, good choice.
Those were all account-wide unlocks. They were fine, because, like, I did the patch content on my main, and then I could do them on my alt, and it was totally okay. I don't see any reason that they would want to undo that. The patch is actually already unfriendly enough, because you have reason to be adding these rep grinds to each of your alts. Because one of the most powerful essences for a lot of specs is locked behind the follower XP quest for Nazatar. And several other powerful essences are locked behind reputation gate on Mechagon, which we have yet to actually talk about.
Yeah.
But it just adds more on top of it, and, like, I'm trying to keep up a second character to have access to during the raid, and it's a lot to try and keep up on to actually have access to those essences in a reasonable time frame.
I feel like there's got to be, like, someone on the team that kind of hates alts and the idea of them, and is like, everyone should do everything on one character. And then there's some other guy who has six alts, and he's, like, trying to help everyone else in the same situation, and they just keep going back and forth. That's why it feels like they're taking a step backward every other patch. But who knows?
I like attunements in that it makes you experience the story of the instance that you're about to go into, but, you know, like, once I've seen a cinematic once, I start skipping it. Once I've done an attunement once, I want to skip it.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to sit through something that's old story to me. Especially if it's a barrier in the way to raiding.
I also want to have to do a week of dailies on every single alt to enter the raid. Because that's currently the 3,000 follower XP
I've been totally neglecting all of my alts in favor of working on my main because of the neck requirements. And so if I want to go do the raid now on launch week, I'm going to have to start busting my ass farming all this shit on any alt that I want to go into.
Well, lucky you. It's just the follower XP, and you're kind of SOL on trying to speed it up. You can. It's probably not worth the effort.
Yeah, like going
I'm
for the...
I'm just hoping and pray that they change it.
I can't see this lasting, honestly. Like, I'm still surprised that I saw this and, like, I haven't seen it anywhere else. Like, no one's complaining yet. But if it is like it seems, there's going to be a lot of complaining very quickly. Come Tuesday or Wednesday.
I mean, it's just like Classic, right? Everybody loves Classic, so let's bring back... You know,
yeah, that's why tank damage profile is just melee attacks. That's right.
Yeah.
Everybody's damage profile.
Anyway, to get us back on track a little bit, we haven't really talked much about Mechagon. Mechagon's the other big, small addition this patch. I'm gonna be honest. I am only very, very, like, brushing the surface of it right now, because there's just so much to do on Agitar that actually needs to be done on my main. So I've done some stuff in Mechagon, but I see people talking about things in general chat while I'm there, like going to the future ? And I'm like, whoa, what the hell is this?
I ran into that too. Apparently I haven't done it either because I'm focusing on Nashatar, but I went to Mechagon today and I was starting to do all that shit, and apparently there's some like Chromie instance.
There is a Chromie quest.
Yeah.
I did so a Chromie quest.
That sends
quest.
You to an alternate version of Mechagon.
That's so cool.
I can explain this as I've done Mechagon. I'm kind of the expert here.
All right. Making the Mechagon expert explain that.
So something that I don't know if anyone realized, but one of the achievements explains for you is the achievement's called Outside Influences, and it says complete all the quests from the visitors in Mechagon. So something that this is kind of explaining that you might not have seen is a lot of the dailies you'll get, not all of them, but like three or so a day, are from a character that's not usually in Rustbolt. It's someone we know from other parts of the game. And one of those the achievement is to, you know, finish the quest from every single visitor that comes to Mechagon. But one of them is Chromie, and the daily that she gives you will send you to basically an alternate version of Mechagon's future. And in this one, basically King Mechagon wins, and Prince Erasmin, who you've been helping, is a rare mob called the Rusty Prince. But anyway, she sends you there, and mechs are kind of ruling the island, and you kill a bunch of them, and there's another daily that's from a friendly NPC there. And there's a follow-up after you finish both of those. But kind of the cool thing here is you can, for the mobs you have to kill for the quest Chromie gives you, you can get a blueprint for an item called a personal time displacer. And what this will do is let you visit alternate Mechagon on a day when Chromie is not there. And why you would need this or care about this is two reasons. One of them, the daily from the other NPC, is there every day, regardless of if Chromie is there to send you to Alt Mechagon or not. So you've been missing a daily or two every day if you don't have this blueprint. And the second reason is that rare I mentioned, the Rusty Prince, only spawns in Alt Mechagon on days when Chromie is not there to send you there. So you have to get the blueprint to kill this one rare. And that's about the gist of the entire Alt future thing.
So I'm going to interject right here.
Yeah,
this is one of those things that I think is really cool, but also like completely impenetrable to me as a person who is mostly doing it for rep right now.
Right.
Like the fact that the Rusty Prince only spawns when there's not Chromie to send you there. I mean, it's kind of cool. I never would have figured that out on my own.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those not quite secret finding level, but you're not going to figure this out without like asking general chat or checking Wowhead kind of things.
I think that's the cool part about Mechagon is a lot of that stuff is not in your face, right? So you have the idea of like this altered timeline thing. And then there's also like, there's always one or two dailies that aren't on the map.
Yeah.
So like you always have to kind of explore a little bit each time. So,
or check, you know, check the Wowhead news channel for the Today in Mechagon post.
Yeah. Yeah. So kind of detailed out for you.
One of the things I've actually really enjoyed about this patch, as I mentioned, I've been like doing these unspoiled. I haven't read anything about them really, except where I've had to write guides. And it's kind of nice. There's like, Mechagon especially has this constant sense of discovery and like, oh, hey, that's something I haven't seen before. That's new. It's interesting. Sometimes it's just a rare.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's more than that. Like when I did the fishing quest and got to like vacuum up minnows from the sea.
I just did that today and that was really fun and really unexpected.
Yeah, that was actually one of the dailies or the quests that I had missed because it wasn't on the map, and this toon did not have fishing trained, so it didn't even show up for me.
I was looking at some of the food requirements for the new foods that we got, and like the crit one only uses mats from Mechagon. It uses spare parts and ionized minnows. And I was like, oh, ionized minnows, that's just going to take a lot of fishing, it's going to be really dull, but no, I farmed like 400 ionized minnow in 5 minutes using the minnow vacuum.
Yeah.
It was fit that food's going to cost like literally exactly much as the vendor mats cost.
I don't hear me complaining about that.
Yeah.
Not at all. So, you know, Mickey, actually, as our Mechagon expert, why don't you take us back a sec and explain why we are on Mechagon and what we are mostly doing there.
So it's sort of just like there's no real reason for it to happen right now besides the patches right now. Like there's no reason for this to be connected to Nazitar or anything like that. Basically, at the beginning of the expansion in Drusvar, you'll have seen this in the the intro quest to Mechagon. But there was, I think it's called the Rusty Vault, something similar to that, in southeast Drusvar, or not Drusvar, sorry, Tirgot Sound. And it was just kind of this gnomey area. And there were kind of some weird hints about, I think there was one like NPC kind of wandering around who was talking about wanting to become mechanical. And then, of course, kind of the like wink wink lead up is what happens to Megatork in Battle of Dazar'alor. And I think there's some lines about, like, I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of this patch he becomes half mechanome or something like that. But basically, who am I thinking of? Other gnome leader who's not Mechatork and Gazlo on Horde's side are both interested in the vault. And you check it out, and there's King Mechagon who's there, who is extremely similar to the mob you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast in Burian Tundra. Instead of Mechazod, this time it's Mechagon, but similar concept. He likes machines. He wants to be a machine. He wants everyone to be a machine. You go to Mechagon on his orders, and you meet his son, Prince Erasmin. You find out, basically, everyone being a machine is not the best idea, and you're trying to stop him. And there's a lot of mechanical waste on the island, mechanical creatures, all sorts of wacky stuff. And if you did not do the dungeon on PTR, you won't know that about half of the dungeon is actually just on the island. You don't even go into the vault until about halfway through. So it really incorporates the whole zone and kind of ties it all together. So it should be a cool thing to see if you haven't yet.
Does that unlock this week or next week?
This week, I believe.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Tinkmaster Overspark was who I was thinking of, if anyone cared.
I've heard that name before.
Yeah, he's the gnome that's kind of in charge of all this if you're Alliance. He's the Gazlo counterpart.
Side note, Gazlo is a much better goblin leader than, God, I'm blanking on his name. The asshole is actually the goblin leader.
Gallywix?
Yes. Gallywix is like a walking pile of trash. Gazlo actually is a better, like...
He's just a good character.
He's a better character. He's a better character.
Next week in Politics of Azeroth.
I mean, if you really want to get into it, you know.
I don't know. I need to step away if we're going to go there.
I mean, Trade Prince Gallywix has no reason to really be leaving, but, you know, that's a whole nother topic.
So, yeah. There's a lot to unpack about Mechagon. I'm kind of struggling to figure out where to start. Like, it's got dailies. It doesn't really have world quests. It's got that one world quest every day, which, by the way, if you've seen it and you haven't done it, you should do it. It gives 850 rep and a rare crafting, quote-unquote, material. There's, like, a bot you can go to turn those materials into other things, some of which are, like, a mount and toys and jetpacks, so you can fly around the island without actually having flying.
And also, if you are still, if you're coming back in 8.2 like I was, and you're looking to gear up at least a little, I guess at this point the raid's almost out, so kind of whatever, but you can also use some of those mats to form a 395 or 410 or 420 random ring or trinket. It's one recipe for ring or trinket, and the eye level goes up by rep level up to revered. That's probably the most useful thing you can make with them.
I had no idea until... I've been ignoring Mechagon, first off. But I had no idea until the other day that the kill three rares thing in Mechagon was so much rep. I thought it was going to be another thing like Nashatar, where you get this bounty for killing three rares and it's 50 rep. And I was looking at this, and I was looking at what I had to do on Nashatar and the AP quests I had to do in the rest of the world, and I was like, just not gonna spend that time for 50 rep. And then I found out later that it was 850. I was kicking myself a little bit, but
so that's actually one thing I think Mechagon does a lot better than Nashatar, because Nashatar has like 20 things to do and they're all kind of equally weighted, which I guess is nice because it's kind of pick whatever you want to do, or if you want to do everything, go nuts. And also, since it has real world quests, it has an emissary, so once in a while you get a big nice chunk of rep if you need it. But Mechagon, on the other hand, kind of front loads all the rep into what can be done in 20 minutes of play, whether it's three rares or six chests or various activities like it is today. So that's kind of a nice thing, I think, if you really aren't looking to do everything you can every day, if you just want to get, you know, a little play time in each zone kind of thing, you can get basically half an emissary's worth every single day from 10, 20 minutes of work and not touch any of the dailies if you really don't want to. But if you want to do all the dailies, it's a nice boost. It's probably, you know, it's going to basically double your rep for the day, but it's not going to break the bank if you don't want to spend that time.
It was a super nice surprise when I found out, but I was just kicking myself because I didn't.
Yeah.
Like, I wasted all that time, and it's actually a really efficient thing to do.
Yeah,
and
maybe
it's
they
nice
could
have
communicated.
I don't have to go and do like three of specific things that are getting farmed. It's like I can just go do a handful of whatever I feel like doing.
Also, on the three rares in Mechagon versus Nashatar, it's just so much less painful in Mechagon because there's
so
a lot more
smaller
rares in basically a much smaller zone. They call, a lot of them call out in, you know, slash EL when they spawn, and you can find a rare farming group and just, if you, oh, actually, and also jetpacks is a nice thing.
There's also,
zoom over.
There's a week aura out now. They've got the TomTom add-on. There's a weak aura where if you see a rare, it puts it in general chat with coordinates.
Oh, I've
everybody
seen that
who's
actually,
got the weak aura kit, it just automatically picks it up and adds an arrow. So you can go straight to the rare. You don't even need to, like, you don't need to be in a group. You don't need to be in a pre-made group for rare hunting. Just if you have the weak aura, you have TomTom, it automatically is going to point to whatever rare spawns whenever it spawns. And I actually am going to, I haven't used it, but I think it's a really cool piece of ingenious.
It also tells you what percent the rare is at, like the general chat line, which is pretty nice.
That's super handy.
Yeah.
It's a great alternative to joining a dedicated, like, pre-made group finder group.
Speaking of handy weak auras for a second, going back to Nashatar, if you're at all interested in the Murloc trading game, which you unlock from a quest that should be on your map, kind of right in the middle. There's a Murloc vendor and four other small vendors that you kind of have to trade a bunch of currencies, and then you get one reward per day. Two, if you have a special Bentha cloak, that can include a mount, but also like follower wrap and stuff like that. There's a weak aura that will literally do the whole thing for you. All you have to do is talk to each vendor once and it'll scan them, and then it'll say, go talk to this vendor. It'll buy stuff for you, and you just kind of walk around to each vendor a few times, and then you have the items and you're done. So that's pretty nice.
That's one of those weak auras that I expect them to find a way to nerf, and it's probably going to have collateral damage.
Yeah, I don't see that one lasting forever, but it's nice while it is. It's on, if you look up like the Merl, MRRL trading guide on WoWhead, I know it's on there somewhere. But anyway, Mechagon.
Yeah, like, I think, you know, if you had asked me a week ago, I would have said I liked Najatar better. Najatar is much more direct. It's in your face. It's like, here's things to do. Here's things to do. Here's things to do. But after a week and a half, it's like, okay, I'm done doing things in Najatar. Please, can I be done? Whereas Mechagon is just like, okay, I did my 10 minutes to do my world quests. Maybe I'll do some dailies. Maybe I'll kill some rares. Maybe I'll go vacuuming in the sea. Or maybe I'll do none of that and go do something else. And it doesn't feel bad to stop doing that. Like, because so much of the rep is front-loaded in that world quest.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree with you that at the beginning, I was kind of much more into Najatar. And I was like, do I even really want to go to Mechagon? Like, of course I do. I want flying. But I started, like, logging out in Mechagon. And then the next day, I would do all my Mechagon stuff first. And then a few days in, by the end of the Mechagon stuff, I was like, do I really want to go to Najatar? Kind of flipped. Now I have, since I got flying on Tuesday, I have not left Mechagon besides just now checking the raid entrance thing.
You got flying on Tuesday?
Yeah, I actually had all the I finished Najatar on Monday, and then I just needed like another 1,000 on Mechagon. And that was it.
Meanwhile, I still need like 6k rep on each in order to get flying.
I was neutral with Mechagon yesterday. I've been working real hard on that Mechagon rep.
The thing is, well, I don't have AP to weigh me down.
If you are in the AP boat and you are prioritizing things that actually give AP, a good way to keep up with Mechagon so you actually get to fly sooner rather than later is to pick up one of the Rust Belt contracts and mostly just continue what you're doing, but make sure you hit the world quest in Rust Belt every day. And it doesn't give AP, but it gives so much rep for so little effort. It's well worth doing.
I just want to say that that is super demoralizing because I did that. And now I'm looking at it like I'm going through, I'm doing my AP world tours. And I'm looking at the Mechagon rep counter slowly going up. And it's like 3,010.
Yeah.
3,020.
Well, it's
3,030.
Like, what's faster?
Like, this is going to take me so... It's free rep and it's nice to have. And like, I'm not complaining about that. But it's just so demoralizing.
Well, think about for every day you do the, you know, 10-minute world quest of three rares or anything, that's 85 world quests with a contract. So I don't know if you're. I don't really know how much AP farmers are doing, but it's probably not 85. Is it 85?
No. I don't think there's 85 that spawn in a day.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I mean, well, then even if you're doing like 30, that's three dailies. You know, it's nice. It's definitely
it's
a perk.
It's definitely worth doing it. Doing
and definitely like, you know, buy my Mechagon contracts that I'm crafting. I appreciate it, but.
You
want to
give them
really
a server and a character name so they can buy directly from you? Send a COD to Mickey at...
Eh, it's fine. I gave up on crafting already anyway. I made like 100k and I'm out.
I should start selling the crit food because it's so cheap and people haven't gotten the rank 3 recipe yet because they didn't do the freaking world quest and when it was up. I have rank 3. It's so cheap. I have all the rank 3s now, except for stamina, which I intentionally skipped because stamina food should not exist. Don't act.
What if you need it for an effective health check at some point?
No, I do not need it, friend. I do not need it. I will die on this hill.
You do play a monk, so you're probably not actually going to even die on the hill.
You don't even no, I might roll off it, though.
I will stagger this hill.
Yeah.
It was lag, I swear.
So, Anomaly, have you touched Mechagon at all?
Yeah, I've flying, so I crushed that.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean,
hang on. Before you answer, I'm going to interrupt you. How do both of you have flying?
I mean, I made flying my priority. Like, that was definitely part of why I came back, was to get flying, so I'm not going to do it in the future. I wanted to do it when it was current.
Yeah, I like to see bars go up. So as soon as they unlocked AP, I just do every AP quest. And then I don't like seeing world quests on my map. So I just did Mechagon and Agitar every day. Everything I could do on both those zones. So
yeah, that's pretty much it.
So what I'm hearing is if I wanted to have lag already, I needed to be more like Anomaly.
Yeah, honestly, what you do is if you have a job that you can do this at, you block out like 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. every day, right at reset, and you basically spend a 2-hour quote unquote meeting doing world quests.
Nice.
Not that I've done that. I'm just saying that might be one way to.
Are you guys hiring?
Potentially. But no, it's just kind of. I mean, from a Mechagon perspective, I think I'm in the same boat as Mickey, where like initially I was like, this is way too much. There's no direction. I don't like this. But I think now it's actually probably of the two zones one I enjoy, because I think now I like just flying around, that I kind of did the things I needed to do. I like flying around and like finding things, right? It's like noticing that like some of the rares are like a drill starts drilling in a cave, and then you have to protect it for a minute, and then all of a sudden it drills down and there's a rare at the bottom of like the cave it drilled out, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
And then the rare drops a blueprint, so you can go and make something.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you need more mats for the blueprint, so you go out back into Mechagon. It's got this nice little feedback loop of like, oh, I need mats, let me go and do things. Oh, there's a rare, let me kill it. Oh, there's a blueprint, let me go turn that in. Oh, I need more mats, craft more things,
If Anon will agree here, but I kind of feel like Mechagon is kind of the fun zone, as in they're like, all right, here you go, have a good time. Like, they're not going to really force, there's no real like story quests after the first day. They're not going to force you to go do a ton of stuff besides the world quest that says go do a little stuff for a little bit. It's just an open world kind of thing. And I guess that's probably like Time of Sile, which I was not around for. But on the other hand, Nazjatar kind of feels like almost like the work zone, and it's like, here is the zone we promised you, here's Argus again, go do all of the things you're familiar with from Broken Shore and Argus and Tenon Jungle and all that. Like, it almost feels like a compulsory zone.
I can agree. I mean, I was around for Time of Sile, like I played back in MOP, and I will say that I had less. Like, I did Timeless Isle because you had to do it for the Legendary Cloak, right? Like, there's like a quest chain for raiding. So I didn't engage really with the rares or anything at that point. But I think you're definitely right. Where like Mechagon just seems like, hey, hop in here, have some fun. Like, here's a bunch of stuff that's just goofy and weird. And, you know, it doesn't really make you stronger as like from a progression perspective, but you get some like cool stuff to look at.
Besides the rings and trinkets, those are nice.
And also the essence. I actually don't know. Do Mistweavers want the essence from Mechagon?
Probably. Yes. Which one is it? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Oh, visions? Oh, no, we don't.
No,
we don't care.
No. That's from the instance. I meant the
it's
rep
purification.
One, yeah.
Oh, I forget what the not DPS one, but it's purification protocol for Windwalker.
I think Mistweavers do want it. So
I don't know if you guys, as not DPS players, are aware of this at all, but so Mechagon also has the trinket, the 3-socket one, where, you know, you get the red, yellow, and blue punch cards, and red are kind of a primary effect, yellow are stat boosts, and blue is just kind of a flavor thing. Something that we've noticed in the last few days, or kind of realized, is that there's a red punch card you get at Revered, and it's basically, it's called Cyclotronic Blast, and it's, you know, it's a 2-minute cooldown trinket. It becomes where you have like a 1.5-second cast time, and then it channels for 4 seconds and does a bunch of damage over the channel. And we have found out it is very, very strong. And you can also use abilities that aren't channels during the channel. So for us, no Fist of Fury, but you can kind of do your rotation during the channel after you use the one cast. And it's really good. So a lot of people
using it as a taunt yesterday.
Oh, really? So if you haven't, if you're a Windwalker or a DPS player and you haven't been doing your Mechagon rep, this, if they don't nerf this, it's probably a good incentive to start doing that in terms of player power.
On a similar note, there is a hilariously broken dodge punch card that drops from PvP arena, I think, in Mechagon. And I fully expect it to get nerfed very, very soon. But if you have it now, it stacks up to 99 stacks, and you get around 60% dodge from those 99 stacks. And it's just incredibly powerful.
I just want to read out the dodge rating you get, because I find the number entertaining relative to the other numbers we have in BFA. The actual dodge rating you get at 99 stacks is 11,137. It is so obviously busted on its face. It's amazing. The thing is that
looking at trinkets early, like before this went live, to look at, just to, you know, do the math, see what was going to be powerful, and I was looking at this trinket and I was posting and I was like, this can't work the way the tooltips say. It's just too strong. I was assuming it was going to work like Ironfur or something and the stacks were going to roll, but no. It just stacks and new applications refresh the stacks, and it's absolutely disgusting. So if you're hearing this and it hasn't been nerfed yet, you should go pick that up immediately.
It's not a guaranteed drop from the PvP arena. Both me and Panini went and did the PvP arena. There was nobody there. We just took it. And neither of us got it. He did it on an alt as well. It is a daily lockout. I tested it. Did it on an alt, still didn't get it. But the reason it's so busted in particular for Brewmaster is that every tick of stagger adds a stack. So by the minute into the fight, you're at 60% dodge for the remainder of the fight, and that's it, no questions asked. For everybody else, it's going to kind of behave like our mastery, where eventually you hit a high enough dodge percent, you will just naturally dodge 3 or 4 hits in a row and not take any physical damage, and it'll drop.
But you have to dodge you have to dodge multiple times within 6 seconds. So it's gonna take a decent amount for it to drop off, because you don't get the 100% dodge, but you should still have pretty good uptime on the stacks, and it should be pretty powerful.
I expect them to make it so it doesn't proc on stagger, and otherwise leave it mostly alone, because that, like, it's actually bad for monks once they do that, because we're gonna dodge too much to keep it up.
On a similar note of why this one's strong for Windwalker in particular, I'm not sure how good it is for other damage dealers, but I expect pretty good, because it does kind of a ton of damage by itself. But even outside of that, it contributes to Touch of Death, of course, which is nice. So you get some fat Touch of Deaths. But also, as a trinket that doesn't get reduced by Storm, Earth, and Fire, it has the triple dip effect, where if you have Touch of Death and Storm, Earth, and Fire up at the same time, instead of 10% of your damage going from it into Touch of Death, it's 30%. So it's pretty chunky.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's a nice trinket.
For reference, this is the trinket we're talking about that my co-tank was using as a taunt. Because it does so much damage when you use it.
It does, like, I want to say 160k, 170k over 4 seconds.
Over 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for Mistweavers, we get no cool gear like that.
Is any of the benthic gear good for Mistweavers?
Not that you're gonna drop item level 4. Like, I think there's a pair of gloves that, like, gives a proc heal on top of, like, normal healing skills. They're pretty good. Only worth about 5 eye level, though. So, like, you get them at 420, that's great. The minute you get, I guess, heroic level gear out of EP, probably better. think there's probably going to be a, end up being better. And
even
then
if
the,
you get them sockets.
I mean, well, you know, sockets would be, I guess, as worth, you know, more than that, right? But I mean, generally, like, you, if you're going to roll, it's not going to be a best in slot item you'll use to, like, mythic gloves, right? You can replace it with heroic. Okay. And then the
that sounds like self, what it should be.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's, are they self-healing gloves too? Like, where if you take physical damage, you gain dodge and heal?
Yep. Those are pretty good too, actually.
Yeah, so those are also decent for Mistweaver. But everything else is pretty much just, you'd use it to catch up. Like, not, you wouldn't use it, like, going into Mythic Week or anything like that, assuming you get lucky with drops.
So the, I guess back up a second. Benthic Gear is this catch-up system that's present in Nashatar, where you get prismatic mana pearls from doing different things, from killing rares, from doing dailies, from doing world quests. And then you can turn these into the vendor to buy tokens to their bind-on account. You can send them to alts. You use them. They give you a piece of gear that's item level 385 with a special effect that's active in Nashatar and the Eternal Palace. And then you can upgrade them for more mana pearls to take them all the way up to 425. They cannot Titan Forge. They cannot roll bonus stats, as far as I know, but they can get sockets. Maybe they can roll bonus stats, like Avoidance. I'm not sure. However, some of these effects that are just, like, bonuses, in theory, in Eternal Palace, like, cool flavor things, like, one of them has you swim faster. Some of them are actually really, really good, to the point that every single tank, I think, wants four of them. Even, like, you want four of them, you don't even need sockets on them. You get them to 405, they're better than Mythic Gear. You get them to 425, they're much better than Mythic Gear. You get them socketed, and you're looking at, like, using this piece of gear up until the next tier drops. It's really dumb.
I think it's fun.
I mean, it's kind of fun, but at the same time, so right now I was going through it and figuring out if the Cyclo-whatever punch card doesn't get nerfed, and the Benthic Gear doesn't get nerfed, and I'm getting most of my Azerite from the Residuum Bender, then I'm at, like, 1, 2, 3, 7, 8 slots that I have Biss pre-raid. And there's only 13 slots.
This is just a nerf to Brewmaster Effective Health.
It almost sounds like, I wonder if, like, if they really wanted Biss to always come from raid, I wonder if they should have locked, like, the last upgrade or two behind a currency you get from the raid only, instead of just more pearls.
Well, they've been making an effort recently to give multiple gearing paths. So
yeah.
I would be really surprised if they did something like that, because that hard locks you into. You must go do the raid so that you can upgrade your stuff.
Well, then it kind of depends if they want them to be Biss at all, or they really just want them to be catch-up gear and you want to replace them in the raid or other PvP or whatever you get them from Mythic Plus.
Yeah, and I mean, they're not something you'll use in Mythic Plus, because the bonus is only active in Nashatar and the Eternal Palace, so there's no Nashatar dungeon, so you're only going to use them in the raid and in doing world quests. But, like, I mean, to me at least, it kind of highlights one of the issues that Brewmaster in particular, and tanks in general, kind of have this expansion where they don't scale very well, and Brewmasters suffer from this especially much, to the point that, like, you know, the DPS want the one that's like 3% extra crit damage. That's not the one that Brewmaster wants. Brewmaster wants the one that's a proc to deal a bit of damage, like just a flat amount of damage. Doesn't scale with what our damage is. It's just a flat bonus. And so we're looking at, like, if this stuff isn't nerfed, we have logs from DOD from, like, the past couple weeks, where, like, only 40% of a Brewmaster's damage actually comes from the Brewmaster, and the rest is Azerite traits and trinkets and this kind of on-hit effect. And it's really a little bit silly.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm not really opposed to different paths of gearing, and I kind of, like, personally, I like the idea of the whole game is where you get your gear, where, like, maybe you have to even go back a tier and get a trinket, but I know that's not a majority view. And a lot of people that just raid don't want to do anything but raid, or maybe like do some Mythic Plus or something if they really want to get the best gear. So it's going to be one of those things that some people are cool with and like the idea, and some think is like the worst thing ever and needs to be nerfed immediately.
I kind of like the idea of being able to get your gear like this. My issue is less that like you can get some, and more with the sheer quantity of it, because it's to the point that I almost don't need gear from Eternal Palace. And I mean, that's kind of silly. It just feels bad to be like, okay, I'm going to go and do Mythic on this character and get zero loot for the entire tier because all of it's a downgrade. And it's not quite that extreme, but it's going to be like 4 or 5 pieces if nothing gets nerfed. Also, and we expect them to get nerfed, but yeah.
Also, it's a lot of pearls. It's going to take a while to upgrade everything, which good or bad, depending on how you look at it. But pearls are not... You're not, like, swimming in pearls like you are, like, some of the Mechagon items, for example.
Oh, yeah, Mechagon, where you need to buy a bigger bag.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, 10 slots total. Like, come on. But
that's a third of a big bag.
Yeah, and you have 5 bags.
Yeah, one of my bags is just Azerite gear and trinkets.
I mean, then shove them in your reagent bank. They made you able to do that for the Mechagon stuff.
I actually need to go through and clean out my Regent Bank because it's got a bunch of Legion mats in it that are worth like a couple of copper.
There's also I know what I was going to mention. Don't forget everyone's favorite system that can get you a few mana pearls if you're lucky. Follower missions.
Oh yeah.
Yay. Oh yeah, I actually almost forgot. There's a new follower this patch.
There is.
You get, for Horde, it's Captain Dreadsail. I don't know who it is for Alliance.
Alliance is the ship lady.
It's Tethys, yeah. I got her, but I wasn't sure if that was 8.1 stuff that I missed, because I wasn't here.
It's
8.2.
Okay.
And there's a new thing on some of the follower missions now require you to have that follower. Or you can't counter all the effects on the follower mission. It's
fun.
It's stupid. So if you happen to have sent out that follower, you're screwed. Or if your follower hasn't been leveled up yet because you just unlocked it, and you happen to get your island weekly mission, having that affix sucks to be you, Emilson.
It's like the story of my life since this patch came out, but I had done the Nazhatar stuff like the first day, and then I was doing I was on my phone on the companion app doing some of my follower missions, and I saw this new affix. It was like Deep Seas or something. I was like, what the fuck is that? Where does that come from? What counter is that? Is this something new? And then I realized when I got home and unlocked the new follower, that's what all that nonsense was about.
Yeah.
So if you've been wondering the same thing, now you know.
They also briefly had this, I wouldn't exactly call it a bug, but it was a problem with that mission, or that quest to unlock that follower, where, at least for Horde, I don't know about Alliance, the dudes you're supposed to go and talk to in Nazhatar were hostile to the opposite faction and could be killed and would not respawn.
Nice.
So, I know this because I walked up to one of them as an Alliance player was killing it. I have War Mode off, so I can't do anything about it. They kill it. I wait there for like 20 minutes, and he doesn't respawn. And I finally just like use the group finder to hop into a different instance, and he's there. And they have hotfixed it, now you can't kill them. But it's really...
That's awesome. Amazing. Have you considered turning War Mode on so you can kill those pesky Alliance players?
Yeah.
You know, I probably could, because I'm actually really fucking geared. But I don't want to. I don't relish the thought of being, like, in Nazhatar next to a cliff, and then a shaman drops from the sky and thunderstorms me into nowhere.
This is like, I'm a panda, but even I have limits. You've asked me if I have considered turning War Mode off.
Have you considered you training 10%
more AP?
I have considered it. I get 25% more.
Oh my god, lying.
The only character that I think is worth having war mode on for is my 110 warrior who has the heroic leap shoulders, because there's the PvP talent that lets you heroic leap again if you use it 3 seconds after. So you can get like 6 leaps in a row. It's pretty nice. Awesome.
That's disgusting. I am sad that my warrior is level 120 and not level 116 or 115.
Oh, this is a note, because this is the only reason I was ever on this warrior recently. For Mechagon rares, it doesn't seem like there's a minimum level to get stuff, or at least it's below 110, if so. So I have an army of 110 alts killing Rustrether every day for the mount. And I've gotten a bunch of blueprints that I can't use on each of them, so that's kind of neat.
Speaking of alts, one of the things that I was a little bit unpleasantly surprised with the new is they have pretty substantial scaling.
Hell yeah.
I went in on my 120 druid, but it's like 390 or something. It's well below my other characters. And I went in and I pulled just about as much as I do on my main just to see how it was going to go. And I thought it was going to go poorly, but the mob scaling in terms of health and damage is really substantial. Like, I didn't have any problems pulling the same amount of stuff that I pull on my main. And I was a little bit unpleasantly surprised by that.
I could see that. And you're saying that was in Nazjatar?
Yeah, it was in Nazjatar.
Yeah.
I just went in and unlocked and pulled some mobs, and I was like,
I'd be curious to see if that holds up on Mechagon 2. Because in general, Nazjatar has mobs that are a lot ruder than Mechagon.
A lot ruder.
Yeah, as like I've definitely noticed, maybe this contributes to Mechagon being the fun zone and Nazjatar being the work zone. But just in general, it's a lot easier. You can solo rares if you want to. And not like you can't do that on Nazjatar, but it's faster on Mechagon. Just in general, you die less. It's not as dangerous on Mechagon.
I know Shrike was actually complaining yesterday about some of the mobs in Nazjatar having roots. Some of the mobs in Nazjatar having basically one shots if you stand in bad things, and they all happen to be in the same area. And so then you have this thing where you get rooted, and then the dude casts the one shot and you're just stuck.
There's also definitely a few more areas with elites in Nazjatar than Mechagon. There's really only one in Mechagon, and you don't have to go there if you don't want to. And in Nazjatar, there's like three, and they're on the road in between two flight points. So that's
I kind of like that they divide. Like, it's nice that there's kind of a work zone and a play zone.
Yeah.
It feels a little bit bad that Nazjatar has such a work feeling, but that's kind of something that, you know, the AP grinders have brought upon ourselves.
Even for not AP grinds, so hard. Like, I think of a zone, like, what you're not really supposed to do, but, like, here's the offerings kind of thing as the meta achievement for the zone. So, for Mechagon, that's the one that gives you the keys to the Model W, the wheel mount that's not from Rustfeather, and for Nazjatar, it's the one that gives you the sideways crab. And if you just even like look at those achievements and kind of go through them, you can see that there's definitely more things you have to do for Nazjatar to fulfill them. In terms of time, maybe it's about the same, but because there's some day gated kind of stuff. But it just seems like in Nazjatar, you definitely have to put in a lot more work for some kind of the same end result that you would do in Mechagon. So like not even AP related, but just in that term. Also, on the note of alts dying fast, I will say that my 110 alts die in like 1 to 3 hits because they're not supposed to be there.
I'm not surprised.
I think it's just gear scaling. I think it's item level scaling similar to what we saw on Argus and the Broken Shore, but it's just very, very obvious, and it scales a lot more than I expected.
I wonder if they set the formula, because like they had gear scaling, have gear scaling in BFA zones. But that's not really super noticeable. Like I can tell the difference between being on my monk and being on one of my trash alts that's like 370. There's a real difference in how long it takes to kill things. I wonder if the gear scaling in Nashatar is set up for Eternal Palace gear, to where
That did
like.
cross my mind. Like maybe everything's below the threshold. And I didn't check HP numbers, but I pulled some stuff and I was like, wow, this is taking me the same amount of time to pull on my warrior, which, sims higher and is more
The
just
trike, no.
much more geared.
Bear is secret OP now. I don't think it actually
Was
is.
playing
Yeah, but
Blinken for the record.
Oh, okay.
But that's a good point. If it's tuned for Eternal Palace gear, then in the eyes of the game, both of those characters are slightly undergeared, So it would, only start to ease up as you get to, I don't even know what item level it would be, like 430 or something.
That's heroic-ish.
Yeah.
All right, to
We
kind
can
of
hope.
wrap things up from here, what, like, between both the zones, what's been kind of the highlight for each of you from this new patch?
I guess for me, out of Nashatar, it was finally learning how to do that uncross lines quest correctly, because that was a huge highlight for me. But no, I think, I mean, the I think on a more serious note, I like, I think Nashatar as a zone is very well put together. I think one thing Blizzard's done, particularly with this, and even I know a lot of people potentially didn't like Argus and Broken Shores, but I think them adding zones in mid expansions has gone well, like the past, two, three times they've done it. So, Nashatar just looks nice. I think it's a fun zone. I think it definitely is the more work zone, but it's also tied to the raid, so I kind of get that a little bit more. And then Mechagon, like we've touched on, very fun. Like just a honestly, it's a zone that you can potentially completely ignore. Like if it wasn't for an essence being tied to it, like you could technically pretty much ignore it if you didn't want to mess around. But I think the fact that they went out and just put together a zone that was kind of just like a fun, goofy, gnome based zone, I think is really cool. And I mean, hopefully we get more of it. Maybe not like a mid expansion zone. Maybe it's like something that they put in at the start that's like got expansion long additions. I think that would be a cool thing to add in, because it's definitely a nice zone to like pop in, do some stuff, pop out. Like you mentioned, that kind of little loop. So.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of times now that Nashatar is really well put together, and I think it's worth noting a lot of people complained about trying to navigate Argus. You never unlock flying in Argus, you're just stuck on the ground the whole time. But it had a lot of like really awkward geometry to try and navigate. Nashatar doesn't have that. Nashatar is actually nice even if you are stuck on the ground like me.
Yeah, I mean the path, like there's a ton of pathways through things, even though they're not marked on the map, they're still like, I don't know, they make it easy to navigate to, like if you're stuck on the ground or if like you're trying to move from one area to the next, like there's always a way to go like east and west or north and south, even if it's not a road like painted on the map. So there are a couple interesting areas that are difficult, but I think in general I liked it.
I've been a little torn about it because I get a little bit of the theme park vibe from Nashatar. It
Yeah.
feels very planned and very like your experience and the way you're meant to just run through Nashatar seems very predetermined. But at the same time, I was pleased when I was running around and I was, looking at where I was on the map and looking at where I was trying to go on the map. And I see this one path over here, but it's a really long route. And then I look up in the game and I put my map away and I see that there's some paths. And that was a nice little surprise. I like that feeling, like I was discovering something that wasn't necessary but made my life easier and just felt like I was getting that exploring vibe.
Yeah, I do feel like on the theme park note, I was originally going to say I think it's a little better than some of the more obvious ones they've done that are really, kind of sequestered, like split off into whatever cloisters of stuff, but it is still pretty clear. Like, you can clearly look at the map and say, okay, this top west corner is the Murloc area. You go south of that, and there's these guys, and you go south of that again, and then you have, like, the south tip area that has all the boats and elites and whatever. Like, they're very defined areas, and you know when you're going from one to another.
That's always been kind of a WoW thing, though.
Yeah,
I mean, you could always tell, like, you walk from L1 Forest into Duskwood, and suddenly the shader completely changes, and now it's, like, super dark, and, yeah, it's like...
I mean, but the difference is this is supposed to be one zone.
That's
like
true.
All of Elwynn Forest felt like Elwynn Forest. And not like all of Nazjatar doesn't feel like Nazjatar, but like there's a high elf zone, there's a Murloc zone, and they're just like very, they're mini like micro zones almost that are just kind of stitched into a zone. Like even if you're going back to like classic examples, like look at like the Barrens, and yeah, you do have like an oasis area and a mountain area. But they're all just part of a greater Barrens, and they don't really feel like they could be in any zone, any like plains related zone, and just thrown in the middle, kind of like they're all one feel.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
I don't even necessarily think it's bad per se. It was just something that kind of stuck out to me, and it does feel a little jarring and kind of breaks your game sense a little bit.
I'm going to say, I didn't really notice it except for the high elven area feeling really abrupt when you get into it. Like, you're in this, like, undersea place, and then suddenly Night Elf ruin.
I'll say, also, like, a positive of this is it definitely helps you remember the layout of the zone. Like, if someone says, like, or if you get the world quest, or not world quest, the daily, that's like, go kill 25 Murlocs. You know exactly where to go for that. Like, you know the areas pretty easy, like pretty quickly after like a day of running around, especially if it's that one day of get one of everything in the zone kind of thing. Like, you'll definitely, it definitely helps in terms of learning a zone and kind of just knowing where you want to go.
So
it's not all bad things. It's just being a theme park.
How about you, Mickey? What's your highlight of these two zones?
So this is actually, as context, I haven't really played since 8.1 released, and I had a good time getting the Hive Mind, and then they nerfed it 2 days later, and I was like, this is why I don't play right now. So 8.2 was like my first time really playing on retail, besides some PTR testing, in like 6 months. And both of these zones, but especially Mechagon, just kind of felt like fun zones that I wanted to do stuff in. So that was just kind of refreshing. Because it was like, if I did, you know, log on during 8.1 sometime, there was like nothing I really wanted to do. There was maybe, you know, do Mythic Plus, do raiding, whatever. But I've always liked kind of open world content and just having stuff to do in the open world. And probably like the easiest way to see this is if I was bored, or when I was doing Mechagon last week and wanting to do rep stuff, I would kind of use the jetpack buff timer. Like, you know, you get 20 minutes per jetpack. I would use that as like a potential stopping point. Like, once this jetpack is up, I'll go to Nazjatar kind of thing. But I always found like I was just kind of flying around the map, and maybe I would join a rare group. Maybe I would just be getting chests or doing whatever. But I would fly around the map and I would see something I wanted to do and I would go do it. And then half the time when the jetpack ran out, I would use another one and keep going for another 20 minutes. And it just always felt like there was something I could do, at least for a few hours, and had at least decent time doing. Like, it never felt like I had to do something, but just I could if I wanted to.
You are far from the first person I have had expressed
that opinion. Yeah, I think it's a common opinion.
And I feel that too, because I caught myself this morning, like, I got on, I had logged out in Mechagon for other reasons. I didn't plan on it. But I just, like, ended up spending an hour or two running around, killing rares, looting chests, and getting enough. Like, my initial thing was like, oh, I have enough rep to get my null dynamo now. Let me go and get enough of the purple mat to actually buy it. And just, like, continue playing beyond that. And that's not something that, you know, I don't continue doing world quests beyond finishing an emissary.
Right.
It's a pretty distinct thing right now.
So I'm actually, like, to refresh myself for this one, I was going through screenshots, and I found a lot of the ones in Mechagon are more like, I'm in a group with a bunch of people and we're trying to kill a rare, or like we activated a cool thing and I just took a screenshot because why not? Just kind of like wacky things. And a lot of the ones in Nazitar are story moments, or there was the one time that like someone threw up a group for let's kill the four like rare elites that you have to activate in a special way. So like that was kind of a cool grouping thing. But outside of that, it's more like the streamlined content is more the highlight of Nazitar. And in Mechagon, the stuff you do on your own is more the highlight. Oh, and also pet battles. Make sure you do your pet battles if you care about rep.
That's why I'm not reviewing.
Like, I don't know if you know this or if anyone listening knows this, like probably some, but for every time, for the first time you beat any of the rare elite pets in Mechagon and Nazitar, you get an item that you turn in for rep. And in Mechagon, they're pretty minor. It's like 75 rep, I think, per one, and there's only like 8 pets. But in Nazitar, there's like 12, and they give 250 rep per item. So go do those. You can do them with a team of like the same 3, almost all of them. There's a guide on WoWhead for it.
People in my guild have been passing around pets for the people who don't have.
that's pretty cool.
People in my guild have been doing it too. More people have done pets this past couple weeks in my guild. I like started doing pets the past couple weeks, and I think have started doing pets since MOP launch.
Yeah, I mean, if you want 3,000 rep in Nazitar, just go do pet battles for like an hour or two.
Is that a one-time only thing, or is it like weekly?
Yeah. Like, it's not just any random pet you see. It's specifically the 12 or so elite pets you can find in the zone. And you know, like there is a world quest for one each day, so maybe by now they've gone through all 12 and you would have gotten the items naturally. But if you don't care about waiting, you can just go do the other ones and get all the rep except for the world quest rep from that item.
So how about you, Shrike? What's been your highlight of these two zones? And I know you've been just mostly grinding AP, but maybe something is still stuck out to you.
I think just the exploration aspect. I mean, Nazitar is kind of a maze, and I've been having a good time just kind of finding all those secret little paths and stuff and finding ways to get around different places. Mechagon just started exploring really today, and it seems like it's got a lot of the same. You know, I also like the little flavor things, like the rares that you have to activate with certain abilities and certain pets and stuff, kind of some fun little flavor. But yeah, I've just been so focused on grinding the AP, and the world quests in Nazitar are a lot better than the ones in
all the others,
and Sandalar, so that's been too. A little break from killing things.
One last little tip, if you're just a casual AP grinder like me, there's about 1,200 AP for doing 2 world quests every day in Nazitar, and it's usually at least one of them is a puzzle quest that takes like 2 minutes to do. Very efficient source of AP if you are mostly just like log into your emissary kind of AP grinder, like I am.
I'm gonna go do those now.
Such a casual man.
Such a casual. I'm not even 54 yet.
Well, I'm just gonna go fly over to those world quests and do them in 2 seconds.
Wow,
I just flew to do the Nazitar one. I untangled some lines that took 2 minutes, and I know how to do that, so it was easy.
Yeah, actually, I did forget to mention flying. That's actually like it was part of why I came back for this patch, is just to do flying when it was current and get it, like having a goal like flying and just being able to progress towards that every day by getting the rep. And then it wasn't a goal that took a month, but it also wasn't a goal that took a day and a half. It took about a week, which was right, I thought. Except I thought this week should have been the beginning of the expansion, not a year in, but just getting flying after that is like the perfect reward, and being able to fly in the new zones unlike Argus is a nice perk.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to getting to see the zones from a different perspective.
I mean, Mechagon, you can just go get a jetpack real quick.
True.
I've been, for like the past 10 years, meaning to go and get the seahorse mount from Bashir. I should finally do that so I can use it as a flying mount in Nashita.
Yeah, that's a fun thing.
Wait, that works?
There's a little thing you can get in Nazitar that makes aquatic mounts regular mounts.
Oh.
Like for in Nazitar, I think. I don't think it applies outside.
It only works in Nazitar.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought. But it also works as flying. So you can fly on a seahorse and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Okay. Last thing. Is anybody else disappointed that Nazitar wasn't more of stuff like Vashir?
What do you mean? Like no underwater stuff?
Like, okay, I'm going to be the heretic. I really like Vashir. I liked the underwater zone. I kind of wish Nazitar had been an underwater zone.
I think parts of it are nice, but I don't think a full underwater zone would go over well in general at this point.
Probably not.
I liked questing in Vashir, and I didn't play during Kata, so I didn't experience it as a current content zone. But I could definitely see how it. A lot of the fun would be the novelty, and like I said, I enjoyed it for, you know, the couple of levels that I was in it, but I'm feeling like maybe if I had to spend all my time trying to navigate, do world quests, kill all these mobs, and find all these things on the ground, that maybe that would get irritating. But at the same time, Vashir is super pretty. It's one of my favorite zones aesthetically.
At this point,
I don't think I would complain too much about it if we had another zone like that.
I would quit the game.
It's very polarized.
So I did Lore Master before I stopped, I think at the end of Legion. And I do remember having a way better impression of Vashir than I expected to have. When redoing it like this long
this is your
later.
You're constant complaining about it, but it's so pretty.
Yeah, it was fine. Yeah, and it looked nice. And also, I don't know if you guys know, or I'm sure some of you do, but there is an underwater boss in the raid.
There is. Yeah. There's also one of the punch cards in Mechagon gives you a swim speed boost that works in combat. It's a blue card. And I have it now, so I'm going to be the fastest fucking tank. On Blackwater Behemoth.
How do you get that one?
I got it from the PvP chest.
Druid?
You can't tank in water form.
Yeah, I'd be like, you only care about getting back to the boss.
No, you need to be fast all the time. This is why you play a Moan.
Sea lions are pretty tanky.
But yeah, I never understood the hate on Vashir. I did it when it was current on the PvP server. I leveled melee through it. I leveled range through it. I never had any issues except for when I would try and place like ground targeted abilities, it just didn't function because there was no C4 for like 1,000 miles.
I think I also did it on a monk when I redid it. So I had roll, which works underwater. So that was pretty okay. I remember. I when we got the first Allied races, I did Lore Master as I leveled them up to finish it out. Yeah.
I think I'm at the point now that I don't need any more of the zones in that level bracket after the level scaling changes. So now when I level characters through there, I just do Vashir. I do it the whole way through. and it actually gets you most of the way through that level range just doing Vashir because it's so long. But it's definitely one of my favorite areas. But I think that wraps it up for today. Does anybody have anything else they want to interject before I really actually wrap us up?
Nope.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. This has been the PeteCraft Podcast. As I mentioned at the top of the episode, we'll be back in a couple weeks to talk about essences, and maybe the raid question mark. I'm not sure exactly the timeline on that, but we're going to talk about both in the relatively near future. So keep an eye out for those episodes. And until then, see ya.